Father in heaven, you're so good, so gracious and kind to us, and just thank you for what you're doing in our midst. You're so good to us, and Lord, our desire here is for people to grow up in the things of God and to fulfill the plans that you have for them. So we thank you for this series on the power to get well, to create well-being, and what you're doing in our midst as we close this series today. Father, I just thank you for breakthroughs in people's lives, moving forward in their lives, and for this power to work in them in a new way and opportunities to open up for the people of Good News Church. So we thank you for it. I just thank you for boldness today, clarity of speech. The congregation can hear and understand revelation come to them, and we walk out of here better, ready to change our world for Jesus Christ. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go back to our foundation scripture. This will be the last in this series, and week six, really, that we've done. And let's go back to Deuteronomy 8, verse 18. It says this, "And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore to your fathers as it is this day." And you know, the word wealth in Hebrew has what connotation? Good, one person. Well-being and wholeness. And this power means a force or an ability. And the word get means to create. And so this is my translation here, taking the liberty here, but God has given us the ability, in whatever the circumstances, to produce or create well-being. And that's a power in us as believers. And then it says why we're given the power: to establish his covenant, to promote the gospel, to establish his love in the earth. So there's a purpose behind it. But today I just want to kind of bring things home, kind of conclude things, but do it in a more practical way so you can kind of see. We've had a lot of theory, a lot of scriptures, a lot of steps, so to speak, about this and explaining certain parts of it. But we want to be practical today. So if you've got it in your Bibles, turn to 2 Kings chapter 4. We'll have it up on the screen. 2 Kings chapter 4. And this power to create well-being, one thing we don't realize that many times it has to do with something that's already in your hand. I mean, of course, that power is in you. But sometimes we feel, and there's part of it, there is education, there is training. I'm not, you know, that's important. There is going through the experiences of life and all of that, and of course, knowledge and understanding. But also, we need to realize that many times the power is already in our hand, and God's already got something in our hand that he can use right now to create wealth. Everybody say, in my hands. Something already in our hands. So let's look at the story of 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 says this: "A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elijah, saying, 'Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves.'" I mean, that's pretty serious. This is real life here. "So Elijah said to her," and it's interesting what he said to her. It's not what you think should be said. You know, you need to be comfort, you need to pray for him, but this is what he said to her: "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? What do you have in your house?" And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing." And that's so many times we feel like, wait, I have nothing. "Nothing in the house but a jar of oil." I mean, what good is that going to do? "Then he said, 'Go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you, you and your sons, and then pour it into all these vessels and set aside the full ones to take what she has, borrow these vessels, and then just start pouring.' So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. And now it came to pass, when the vessels were full, then he said to her son, 'Bring me another vessel.' And then he said to her, 'There is not another vessel.' So the oil ceased. And then she came and told the man of God, and he said, 'Go sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest.'" I mean, talk about wealth being created and well-being coming to that family, wholeness, paid their debt. You know, that's interesting. God's interested in your debts being paid. God's interested in your bills being paid. And he's interested in you in having leftover. He's interested in you in having more than enough. But, you know, but sometimes I think we're kind of hoping for that computer problem to wipe out our debt. And if that happens to you, I'll tell the testimony. I mean, more power to you. Or walk out in the backyard and see money on the trees. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Or finding something, you know. But there's times in that as we're praying and looking to God, He may show us things that we already have in our hands. And He doesn't want to just take do addition, you know, take this iPad and, you know, take it and give it to you. And what does that do? That adds to you. But if I can take this iPad and give it to you, and then you can multiply it into more iPads, I mean, that's a good thing. And that's what we're talking about, is multiplying things. And God is a multiplier. We've talked about that going back to Adam. He commanded Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply. And that command is not left. It's on us. And so today, for the rest of the service, we're just going to basically tell some testimonies. And I'm going to share one and then turn it over to Susie, and she's going to have some other things to share. But there's a great story that I heard of a pastor in Costa Rica. He lived in this village that was very poor. At one time it had been prosperous, but there's things in the economy happened, and businesses started shutting down, and things started happening. And you know things are bad when the young people are leaving town to go in to find work. People are packing up and moving, and, you know, he was just crying out to God. He says, God, what can I do? He's got a small church, just a few people, and he's just like, what can we do to help this community? So he started praying about it, and the Lord directed him to preach on the parable of talents. Remember that story? And gave one five, and one two, and one, and the guy that had five, you know, went and doubled it, and so on, all the different things that happened there. And then he had him preach that sermon, and then but as he was praying, the Lord said to him, all things are possible to him that believes. And so he praying about the service, he preached the message. But then he had this idea, and he had a few dollars. He went out into the congregation and just picked out certain people and gave them money. And he said, what I want you to do? I want you to take this money and go double it. And start giving it to people. And he came to this lady, a single mom. He came up to her and wanted to give her the money. And she says, no, I don't want it. There's nothing I can do to double this money. Don't give it to me. And she's just really fighting him right there in front of everybody. And finally, the pastor is just determined. He wants this lady to have it, and just puts it in her hand, closes the hand, and walks off. Well, and she's just aggravated about it all. And she comes the next day to the pastor and says, Pastor, you know, wanting to give the money back, I have nothing. There's nothing I can do to double this money. I mean, why pick me? My husband left me. I've got three small kids. We barely have enough to eat, and you're wanting me to take this money and double it. The only thing I can do is cook pancakes for my kids. And then the pastor says to him, well, there you go. You know how to make pancakes? Here's what you're going to do. Take this money, go buy the ingredients for pancakes, and what I want you to do then is feed your family and take the leftover pancakes and bring them down to the city square. A lot of shopkeepers go in the morning to work, and they're hungry. Take the leftover pancakes and just go sell them to those folks. And she's like, this is not going to work. This is crazy. But she just, you know, a little spark of hope, I guess, that, you know, all right, I'll go do it. Here's a plan, something I can do. So she does that, and then she comes back the next afternoon to the pastor and says to him, Pastor, they bought all my pancakes. She's got money in her hand. She's doubled the money. She's got money, you know. This is a true story. And I'm not making this up. And so, you know, then he says to her, I'll tell you what you do then. Now, go take that money and get some more ingredients and make some more pancakes. So she does this and continues to do this every day. And, you know, keeps on selling them. And then she works on a recipe and kind of works with things and works on her service and how she does things. And she gets better and the pancakes get better. And then she decides, well, if I can do this, I can do some other items. And so she starts adding things. And then one thing, you know, and over, you know, weeks and months, then she starts a catering business. Single mom, three kids, barely making it, starting a catering business. The king became the best catering business in the region. And so she just keeps on going with her business and all that. But it spurred other people on in the village. And they said, if she can do that, I can do something. And so other people started doing things. And things started catching on in that village until things started turning around. And now young people from other villages were coming to their village to find a job. And the president of the country called this pastor and he said, you know, what is going on over there? I need to find out what the secret. We need to, whatever you're doing there, we need to do this in other parts because we're going through a crisis here in our country. And so he asked the pastor, what's the secret? And then he starts the conversation. Well, Mr. President, there's this lady that makes pancakes. He calls her the pancake lady. And, you know, I just love that story. It was something she didn't even know she had in her. She knew how to make pancakes. And so this power is in each one of us. Now, I don't know, and God made all of us different. But He's got something in all of us to add value, to solve problems, to bless people, to be a help in every one of us. And as we do those things and as we grow and develop those things, you know, it's going to bring provision to you. And so I'm just praying and believing for all of us, you know, for us to tap into those things because in those things that we have is satisfaction, is joy, is passion. Is excitement. And it's not just about the money. Money will come, but it's about being a blessing. Really about giving life. So, Susie, turn it over to you.
Praise God. Amanda's been wanting me to share my story. My story is that about four years ago, I was wanting to be able to do more for my kids. And, you know, we pastor and have pastored and, you know, all of us look at our lives and what we've chosen to do. And you know, it's God's plan and call for our lives. But our kids are getting older and you think your kids cost a lot when you're buying formula or diapers. Wait till they get older. And so anyway, we have four children, as you know, and just wanted to be able to do more to bless them. And we had gone to a meeting, I think it was March of 2009, we went to a meeting. Well, in February of 2009, our dog Ruby had died, and had died unexpectedly, and it was a heartbreak. If you've ever had an animal die at your house that you were all attached to, and so it was just a heartbreak. And I knew we needed to get another dog, but we didn't want to get one too soon. And so I was just, you know, I knew that was on the horizon. We were going to do that. But we went to a meeting, and I was with we were visiting with some other pastors. And the pastor's wife, for whatever reason, she told me the story, just totally out of the blue. She told me the story that they were having a difficult time in ministry, and that she and her husband were praying. They weren't quite sure what to do. And he was listening to a tape by Lester Sumrall. Some of y'all know who that is. He's gone on to be with the Lord now. And Lester Sumrall had been talking along these very same lines. He said, people are praying and asking God to bless them, but God's saying, look in your hand, what's in your hand? What can you do with what's in your hand? And he said, so he calls his wife, that was Jeremy Swizek, he calls Lisa and says, Lisa, what's in our hand? What's in our hand? And they start talking. And he said, you know, what I've been thinking about are our dogs. We have these AKC registered golden retrievers that we've never had spayed and neutered. And he said, you know, I'm thinking maybe we should breed our dogs. And, you know, they'd never bred dogs. And they're like, what? And so anyway, she felt good about that, and so they decided to check into that, and they bred their dogs. And once they got the dogs, they weren't quite sure what to do with the puppies, and they put them in their, and when they the puppies got old enough, they took them down to a Target shopping center, there, and out of the back of their vehicle, they sold them in the parking lot, which I'm thinking, who would go to Target to get whatever and then buy a puppy out of the back of a car? And they made enough money to have Christmas that year for their kids. And so but she just told me that in passing. She was just thanking God for it and went on. And somehow or other, that just stuck in the back of my mind. Now, you got to understand, I have, even though we've always had dogs when I was a kid and as adult, I just have never been personally involved with dogs. I mean, I like them and all that, but I don't want to touch them. It's the truth. I mean, the kids fuss at me, Mom, why don't you ever pet Ruby? And I'm like, I love Ruby. She knows it, but I give her all my love with my voice. And so, anyway, but I just knew, as for whatever reason, we needed to have a house dog. We've never had a dog in our house. And if you've never had a dog in your house, just the idea of it is just like, my goodness. But so we're going to have a dog. I think we need to get a dog in my house. But for whatever reason, I can't even really remember how it all went. But I just had this notion, I need to get a dog that I can breed. Now, you don't know, my mom has told me many times, the craziest thing I've ever seen you do is get a dog and breed dogs. You just don't know how far off that is from my nature. It's just way out there. And so, but so I just did. And so anyway, I researched and found out. We really loved our golden retriever, and I knew I wanted that. But a golden retriever, we didn't want a dog that big in our house. So I found out about golden doodles. It's a cross between a poodle and a golden retriever. And then they make miniature golden, they breed golden retrievers with mini poodles that make mini smaller dogs. And so I found a lady up near Kennesaw, Georgia, who did, and I talked to her for a while. And anyway, dogs were very expensive. They're $1,800 to get the stock. And so I had, you know, I had the money to get, you know, I managed to get this dog, and we bought this dog, and we got Chester. He's a little poodle, and he came from Oklahoma. And so we got these little dogs, and now I'm going to breed these dogs. I know nothing about it, and I was terrified, but I thought, if I can have four babies, I can help these dogs. They know what they're doing, so somehow or another, I can work this out. So I did a lot. Thank God for the Internet. Anyway, a couple years went by, and we had our first little litter of dogs. And now I got to sell them. I don't even know how much to sell them. How do you find customers? What do you do? But those three little puppies that she had, those dogs, oh, my goodness, people wanted them, and they paid me $1,200 each for those dogs. And we delivered them. But I'm going to tell you, it wasn't even that. It was how much fun I had interacting with these people that wanted the dogs. So now we've had several litters with them. But I just want to tell you some of the things that have happened with these dogs. One of the dogs went to an Iraqi war veteran, a guy who had been injured in Iraq and had been partially paralyzed. But his job in Iraq involved him having a canine. He had a dog with him, and his dog was blown up, and whatever injured him killed his dog. And he was in the hospital recovering, and I heard from his wife. His wife contacted me and said, I'm looking for a dog. It needs to be a special dog. And these dogs that we breed can be trained to be companion dogs. And she was interested, you know, she was looking for that, and I talked to him. And at the moment I talked to her, I knew one of my dogs is her dog. You know, one of my puppies is her dog. Well, what happened is, this is interesting, they weren't able to get the dog because of some delays with what was going on with him and all. And I had other people wanting the dog, wanting it, but I wouldn't sell it to anybody else. I just held on to that dog for her. And so it was that dog I kept an extra 2.5 months, I think, and that was their dog. And I was so thrilled that my dog now is the dog. Think of that. I can't tell you how happy I am that my dog is down there bringing comfort. Another time, a lady whose husband had had a stroke in his late 40s, and he was paralyzed and bound to a wheelchair. And she was looking for a dog that would get up in his lap and sit in his lap. And she called me, and we talked, and I knew immediately which dog it was. So I sent her pictures of all my dogs. And she showed them to him, and they picked out the very dog that we had that I knew she would love. His name was Bo, and the man could say Bo. His speech had been impacted, but he could say Bo. And so it was really sweet. But that's where one of my dogs is sitting in his lap right now. How awesome. And then here's a really sweet story. There's a little girl. Her mother calls me one morning, real early one morning. You get a phone call from Chattanooga, Tennessee, and it's a woman calling, and she said, I see you have puppies for sale. Do you have any left? And I said, well, we have several, but sometimes I don't sell dogs to people. I only sell them if they seem like a good match for my puppies. And so I'm talking to her, and this is her story. Her little girl, the next night, they're having a daddy-daughter dance at their school, and her little girl, her father left when she was young, and her father won't have anything to do with her. And her daughter came home from school, and she says, they're having a daddy-daughter dance, and I don't have a daddy to take. And she's just sitting in her room crying, and the mama's like, what can I do? I can't just go out and get a daddy for her. And she thought, but I can get her a dog. And she went on the Internet and found me. And I talked to her, and she said, so I was talking to her, and when she's talking to me, I know which one of our puppies was hers. And she said, I'm going to come today. So she drove down. She came to our house at about 10 o'clock that night to get that puppy. And that little girl was crazy about that dog. Now, these people that I'm forming these relationships with people, I get pictures all the time. I have these ongoing relationships with people all over that are loving my dogs. And I can't tell you the joy that I have. I had no idea how much I would enjoy this whole thing. But they send me pictures and all kinds of stuff. I have this whole thing going with me and my silly dogs, which I never dreamed would happen. And in the meanwhile, I paid for two of my daughters to get married. Bought Harry a car. About to buy Grayson a car. And a lot of other good things that have come because of these puppies. That just is the same thing. And I have to tell you, I would do it, honestly, I'd do it for free. I really enjoy the whole thing of building relationships with these people and helping people to know that I can be such a blessing. My little dogs are being a blessing in all these families. It's an awesome thing. Praise God. Sue Lee, why don't you come up here? Sue has an awesome testimony. I'll give you the first part. Some years ago, it's been a number of years, Sue was in bad health. A lot of things were going on in her life. She was overweight. She was on a lot of medications. And health-wise, come on up, lady. Health-wise, things were not going well. And Sue had a big turnaround in her life. And I'm not going to tell you how old Sue is, but I'll tell you that several years ago, I went to her 60th birthday party. And I want to tell you something else. She could kick your butt. All right. Why don't you share what happened in your life as a result of you getting fit and what happened?
Okay. Well, I thank you very much for this opportunity. As she said, I was in pretty poor health, lots of pain every day in my spine, my knees. I have scoliosis. It's pretty much all gone now because of what I did. So it began with a very simple prayer request. And it was, Lord, I need you to help me. To direct me. I've been on diets before, but I always go back to the same old routine and the same old habit. And so as I just kind of prayed a simple prayer, the Lord began to speak to me about the journey in which I needed to start. And he gave me the verse of the letter of 3 John, 3 John verse 2, that, beloved, I pray that thou wouldst prosper and be in health as your soul prosper. And I took that verse and literally I took it apart. What does it mean to prosper? It means to be on a journey. It's not just now. It's a journey. It's walking through. And what health, what does it mean to have health? And literally health means to be absent from disease. And as my soul prospers, well, that's my mind, will, and emotion. How can I put all of this together and walk out what the verse that the Lord had literally given me? And if you're in the corporate world, you know that every employer has a mission statement, and they abide by that mission statement. That 3 John became my personal mission statement that I began to walk out. And as I began to be directed by the Lord of how to change my eating habits, how often to eat, what to eat, portion sizes to eat. And then I realized just to do that part wasn't enough. So I needed to get active. So I started walking. Then I decided, okay, I got a little money, I'll go join a gym. And I met some awesome people there that really helped to encourage me on my journey, which is another thing that you need, somebody to encourage you. And so I began to see the benefits of what the direction that the Lord had given me. And then I thought, hey, this is working for me. I can use what I've got to make it work for somebody else, to encourage someone else on that journey. So I went and I got my personal trainer certification. And this journey has been about 16 and a half years now, or it's close to 17 years. And then I said, okay, there's a whole lot of other stuff out there. What else can I do? So I went and got my certification in Pilates. And then I had started doing yoga for myself. And what I found out that the yoga really helped to release a lot of tension through the stretching, through the breathing. And I know in a lot of church circles it may be taboo, but, you know, it's a benefit for you. If you are grounded in your faith, nobody can turn you away from whom you believe. So I started doing the yoga for myself, and then I said, well, I can do this too. So then I went and I got my 200-hour yoga certification. It was really, really hard, let me tell you. It's probably one of the most difficult physical things that I had ever done. And so that allowed me to be able to teach in gyms. I used to teach in like two or three. Now I'm only down about one, which is great because I'm still working full time. But ever since I've been on this journey, I've never had to pay a gym fee. You know, and I get to meet some of the most awesome, awesome people. And like you, what makes my day is someone says, you know what? I came in here and my back was hurting and, you know, I couldn't hardly walk. And now because of this 1 hour, I feel so much better. So, you know, it's like she says, and it takes courage to walk these things out. You know, it really does. And whatever God has given you, whatever gift he's given you, whatever you're passionate about, that's usually where you'll find it's what you become passionate about that you'll want to use to help others.
Amen. Praise God. That's awesome. Thank you. Very good. Praise God. And she makes money doing it. She gets paid to work out. And she's also a personal trainer for people, and it's just amazing seeing God bless her financially through something she was going to do anyway. Praise God. Mama, why don't you come, and you will tell your story. While she's coming, I'm going to tell you about my sister-in-law in Minnesota, Matt's older sister. Her husband, John, worked for a number of years for Target Corporation. He was in a marketing design, high-level position there, handled big campaigns they did. Several years ago, they went through a series of reductions and some things happened, and he ended up losing his job. And he was making a lot of money, and then he lost his job, and then he could not find a job. And he got some side jobs, you know, like freelance jobs, but he wasn't able to replace the job he'd had. Meanwhile, his sister Marie is very crafty, and Marie does, huh? Did I say his sister? I meant your sister, Marie. Okay, but John's wife, Marie, exactly. She had been doing felting and creating these snowmen and very crafty. Well, what happened is these things that she'd been doing, people had been wanting to do them themselves. And she would make them for people or do them in little shows and all. But what happened is she started creating designs for them. And the next thing, which means all you got to do is create it once, and then it can be duplicated and sold many times. And over the last several years, while John has not been employed, Marie's business has gone from just this little hobby she had to this full-fledged business, and now her patterns are all over the country. being sold. And she goes, in fact, like goes out to Colorado and does seminars and things like that. Just a stay-at-home mom who just liked to do this on the side. She's got this whole business going. Last year, they made more money than they've ever made before out of Marie's business, just selling patterns for these. I mean, you see them, they're in this little plastic sleeve, and you're like, how is this getting you support in your family? It's been amazing. It's just something that she had, and God just used it. And, you know, just like Sue said so well, it was just a journey and one step and then another, and it's taking care of their family. And my mom has a very similar story. Several years ago, her family, our family business closed, and my mom was left without income.
I retired.
Yeah.
My husband and I ran General Freight Furniture. Most of y'all know that for over 40 years. And after we closed that and I retired, I really needed more income. So I have four sons and Susie. So one of my sons, Tim, opened up Furniture Outlet on Bobby Jones Expressway. And he called me up one day and he said, Mama, I really need help. And I said, okay. So I start helping him. And then one day a friend of ours called, a big real estate agent in town, and said, hey, he said, there's a big builder coming to town, going to build hundreds of homes. Can y'all come out and meet with me? Well, it turned out he needed model homes done. Well, I knew a lot about furniture, and then several years ago, I was just led to take a course on home decorating, staging homes from, you know, not intending to use it, nothing in particular, just because I loved it. And so I said, I don't know if I'm up to this or not, but anyway, we agreed to do a model home. Well, that turned into many model homes, and then six other builders contacted me to do model homes for them. So as of now, I've probably over 25 model homes in the past 2 or 3 years, and today, during this month of October, I am setting up 3 more model homes. So all over the area, I have model homes that I've done. It's been a great blessing to the builders, to the real estate agents, because the homes sell so much better if they're decorated, and also a great blessing to the customers, helps them see how to do their homes. And a lot of these customers, of course, have bought furniture from Furniture Outlet, and a lot of them just beg me to go do their homes, but I guess I could if I wanted to work 75 hours a week, but it it takes away from my grandmother time, so I have to turn them down. But I mean, it's just something that was in my hands. I've got a friend, David Ingalls, he has this song, "It's in your hand, you hold a miracle, though not much to you, turn it to him and he'll take what you offer him and make it what you want to be. It's in your hands, a miracle." And that's really what it was. I thought I had nothing to offer, but yet I've, you know, received well, you know, been well paid for it, and I love it.
Amen. Thank you. And she would do it for free. She did for many years. Praise God. Harry, you want to come and share about your business? There's a bunch of other boys coming. I've seen Sean Lewis do this. I've seen Neil do it with a guitar business. I've seen a lot of, who? Jose and Vanessa. I've seen Jose. He's got a product line going. He's been a hair designer for a long time, and now he's got product lines going that goes right with it. And a whole bunch of the rest of you, y'all are doing things, everybody. Harry, why don't you close
us up? What are we doing on time? When I was younger, for some reason, I had in my mind that I wasn't very creative. I don't know where I had heard that. I don't know. I honestly don't remember anybody telling me that. It was just something that I just thought I wasn't creative at all. And I found out that that was a lie. In eighth grade, I was homeschooled. And my mom, always trying to get us to do something with our lives, she had the brilliant idea that I would come and work at the church every single Friday. Come work for free. And, you know, do whatever jobs they needed me to do. And so eighth grade year, I spent every Friday with Pastor Nate, and he taught me a lot of things, learned about, first thing I ever learned was how to make the announcements, and started doing that. Then I learned about radio. I learned about how to design stuff. And this, along this way, I found out that I was creative. Like, you know, for whatever reason I thought that I wasn't good at this, it was a lie. Today, if you think you're not good at something, or you know, I hear people say, oh, I'm not good at anything, well, that's a lie. God's put stuff in you, and so this was something that had been put in me that I had no idea about until I had the opportunity to really work. And it became something where I didn't want to just go to church and work on Fridays, but I wanted to be over there as much as I could. Began to put a lot of hours into it. You know, I'd work on videos or different stuff. Some weekends spend 20, 30 hours working on a video, sit in front of a computer for 12 hours a day editing videos or different stuff. Now, a lot of people, that doesn't sound appealing at all, but loved every minute of it. And recently, as I've gotten older, so that was in eighth grade, as I've gotten older, you know, you have these things that you want to buy, but you no longer want to ask your parents, hey, you know, I want to get this camera, this is $1,500, you know what I mean? That's not something that they're going to really go for. Not really going to provide that for me. And so I realized, hey, I can edit videos, I can do this. Well, you know, why don't I offer my services? Why don't I look for job opportunities? And I'm not really the person who likes to make money. I would much rather do something for somebody for free, honestly. Now, I know you're hearing this and you're like, why don't you come work for me? Well, I'm not doing that anymore, but early... Early on, I just wanted to make videos for myself. You know, I don't want to make money doing this. And so I started made YouTube videos, and you guys have seen some of them. You know, they show them here. I'm never petitioning for them to show my videos. They just do it. But this summer, I had this opportunity. I found online a video contest with Project Ed is the name of it. And this is so great, guys. It's so corny, really. Project Ed is all about, like, making... videos for classrooms, educational videos, and for some reason I found this, that one of their contests was concrete and abstract nouns. Does anybody know what those are? All right, a few of us. Honestly, I did not know much about concrete and abstract nouns, but there was this contest that they had where someone had written them a song, and a young person, if they would make a video to this song and teach kids about concrete. I mean, this is just crazy stuff, y'all. Teach kids about concrete and abstract nouns. They would give them a prize of $1,000. And so, I listened to this song. Me and Grayson, you know, we get in there. I have out my notepad. You know, I'm just getting ideas out. Listen to the song. I'm like, this song is complete crap. What am I supposed to do with this? This is just bad. But God gave me an idea. All right. And once again, this is not my request today. Someone requested for me to show you guys this video, so you might have seen it, but here's what I created, I guess, with Grayson's help.
You know what a noun is. People, place, things, and ideas. But nouns come in two different types, and I'll demonstrate what each of them is like. First you got your concrete nouns, or physical, that's the key. Concrete nouns are everywhere. You smell, taste, touch, feel, and see. Abstract nouns are opposite. You can't see them, but they're all right there. Emotional ideas and the feelings that you share. Concrete nouns are physical, while abstract nouns aren't at all. See the candles, smell the cake, but what smell does excitement make? Concrete nouns are physical, while abstract nouns aren't at all. Touch the mirror, you can clearly see. What's the taste of clarity? What's the taste of clarity? Calendar, that's a concrete noun. Year, that's an abstract noun. Clock, that's a concrete noun. Time, that's an abstract noun. Pillow, that's a concrete noun. Dream, that's an abstract noun. Bed, that's a concrete noun. Sleep, that's an abstract noun. Concrete nouns are physical, but abstract nouns aren't at all. See the bird, hear the tweet, can you touch the fear in the worm he eats? Concrete nouns are physical, but abstract nouns aren't at all. Touch the door, see the key, what's the sound of pride?
Now, believe it or not, that won me $1,000. Crazy, right? But even more so than that, I've been getting comments on this. This video has over 5,000 views, and I haven't really, like, I haven't posted it or anything. I'm not campaigning that this video get any views. But teachers have been showing this to their classrooms. I have comments from, like, little third and fourth graders, like, my teacher showed me this today in class, and they don't really have anything else to say, but it's just crazy to think that this is out teaching people about concrete and abstract nouns, you know? Well, that's not the most important thing in life, you know? It is, it's pretty, very important. I don't know. But it's enlightening people. It was something that, you know, I had no idea that this is, you know, this is how I could make money doing this. And where am I going? But you see a lot that with things like this, there's some development. There's a development process to this all. All right, it's not like one day you wake up and you're good at a skill, unless you're beyond this. But even those people have to work, you know. And this is something that I spent time, put time into, put effort into. Nothing in life can you get through without putting effort into, you know? Nothing that's worthwhile, at least. And I got an email this week from the Project Ed people, and they said, hey, we liked your video so much, we're showing it, we're sending it into these other contests where you have the opportunity to make X amount of dollars if you win this. And, you know, it's their best. They've had several contests. They said, this is, you know, our best video so far type of deal. And so there's an opportunity here. You know, I don't know where all this is going, but, you know, God's supplying my needs, and this is just how it's taking place. And so I want to encourage you today, whether you're young, whether you're old, that God's got gifts in you. He's got talents. You know, what's interesting about the parable of the talents is that everybody was given talents. It wasn't like somebody had 10 and somebody had none. Everybody had talents. And so it was basically about how would people use their talents? How would you go about using it? Would you actually do something with it? Would you double it? Would you multiply? Or would you just sit around and not do anything about it? And I want to read something real quick. All right. This is from E.W. Kenyon. You should check out this book if you haven't. Signpost on the Road to Success. But he writes something in here that I just want to say because he says it way better than I would say it. He says, a father was dying. He had two sons. The boys had always felt that he had gold that he had hidden away somewhere. He had never been a strong, healthy man, so his farm was not developed. Back of the house, there was 10 acres of stump land. When he was dying, he said, the stump lot. Again and again, he said, the stump lot. As soon as the funeral was over, the boys said, the gold is out in the stump lot. Now, they thought that that their dad had put, you know, all of his money, all of his stuff into the stump lot. I mean, that's, you know, that's probably a great place to put up your treasure. I mean, that'd be a good place to hide it, right? And so they were going out. They're going to look for this gold. And how feverishly they worked. They tore up every inch of it, but they found no gold. Then the older one said, we have the land in good condition. Let's put in corn. In the autumn, they found in the ripened corn the gold. You have a stump lot and you dig it up, clean it up, and you'll find the gold in it. All of us, we have stuff within us. We have gifts. There's gold within us that the world can benefit from. And we can benefit from. And it's a matter of us going in there, digging it up, putting in work. It says they feverishly worked. They spent time doing it. It was difficult even. But they got the gold. And so there's things, within all of us today that we need to look in. We need to ask God, what's in me? What do I have? What can I dig up, maybe? Or maybe it's something that you've spent time in the past digging up. You've already developed something, but you just need to act on that, right? And so I encourage you today, wherever you're at with, you know, in this whole process, because it is a process, it is a journey, wherever you're at, to think about this, give it attention, pray about it, ask God to show you. He'll give you wisdom how to use your talents. He'll give you wisdom what to do with your resources. And you can be abundantly provided for, and you can provide for people. You can have videos showing in classrooms all over America. I mean, if that's your dream, if that's what you want to do. And so today, let's endeavor together. Let's be encouraged together that we as a church, as a community, are going to do this. And just like that lady in the village, let's have some people step up and say, I'm going to be the pancake lady, you know? I'm going to be the hair artist. I'm going to be whatever. And let's do this together and see that not only will this church be provided for, but that we'll be able to support many other ministries, support many other causes, because that's what it's about, right? And we can do this. God with us, we can do this.
Yeah, Harry got all his creative abilities from me. Not. No. So from this message, don't quit your job tomorrow. That's not what we're saying. Quit your jobs. Pastor gave me permission to quit my job and start this other thing, you know. But there are things, and you may have something right now, and we have people in the church that if you want to talk with them, well, how do you do some of these things? How do I get it out? We have that opportunity, but be praying about it. Maybe you don't have a clue right now. Since I've come back from Australia, every Thursday we've been praying from 6 to 7, and I've been praying for you. I'm not praying about the church finances. I'm praying about how can resources get into your hands where you can be a blessing. And Nate's been talking, you know, about generosity. He's going to supply our needs, but we can provide the needs for others. And, you know, our mission here is empowering people to give life. And yes, giving life is sharing the gospel. Giving life is laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover. But giving, we can give life in a lot of ways. And have products to bless people and help people, make people whole, bring well-being, bring joy to others. And I don't want anybody to be, and if you get focused on the money, making money, that's the world's ways. That just leads to sorrow. But if you get in there and creating value and creating wholeness and being a blessing, that brings joy to others and to you, and it brings satisfaction. This is all part of the abundant life, a life overflowing with good things that the Lord has for us in John 10:10. So let's stand, and I know this is corny, but we do this all the time. I could kind of have a prayer line for people today, but I just feel like let's catch hands and pray for each other. Let's pray for each other today. There's something in that person in your right and their left. There's gifts in them. And maybe they're already on the journey with like what Sue was talking. But let's help them to go even further. But there's some here today, they don't have a clue. They feel like they have nothing in their hands. Let's just pray for revelation and light to come and understanding to come and the help that they need to move forward. And to pray for boldness. There might need to come a point and some folks are going to quit their job and do some new venture. Talk to me first, but anyway, that may happen and you're going to need boldness to step out. But if it's God, it's going to be well worth it. So Father, we just pray for each other today. We're a community that's for each other. We love each other. We want good things to happen for each other. And you have given out talents. And you have given out gifts to each one of us. Help us to discover those things. Help us to realize those things. Help us to see those things. Make them clear. And if we don't hear it from you, maybe others will speak into our lives. But to use those things for your glory. And as we do that, and as we help people, and as we bless people, you've given us this power to create well-being, to create wealth. And as we do that, as we solve problems, Lord, provision will come to us. You meet all of our needs. We thank you for that, Father. Well supplied. We don't want to just have one, you know, this immediate, this bill we have this week. We want that to be met. But we want the next bill to be paid and the next bill and the next bill. And then oh Lord, to have leftovers and be able to give more and to do more to be a blessing. Why can't the President Obama call us here in Augusta and say, what are you all doing there? When I'll say, well, there's this pancake lady, you know. And so we just thank you, Lord. You're moving in this church. We're moving forward. And Lord, it's not about us. It's about the vision. It's about the mission. It's about empowering people to give life. I know, Father, you want us to reach this city. You want us to reach Georgia, South Carolina, the United States. And you're opening up doors in the world for the I Give Life message, for the gospel, Father. And we want to be able to do those things. So we've got a purpose, Lord. Motivation behind what we're doing. It's about ultimately about the Great Commission. But you so loved the world that you gave. We want to be able to give more, Father. We want to be a greater blessing. We want to be a greater impact on this world. It's not about the church. It's about these families, these individuals here. You've got great things for them. You've got purpose and vision. Show them things to come, Holy Spirit. Move in their lives. Begin to show them, open up the future. And they're empowered. And may they be bold to step out and try new things, Lord. They're blessed on the journey. Father, I pray they may prosper and be in health, even as their soul prospers. Thank you for it, Father, right now. In Jesus' name, amen.